As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
Welcome to the playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and there's two of my favorite sirs in the world, and that's Sir Elton John and Sir Martin Sorrell.
Well, you're a schmoozer, David. You should be in the ad business.
I only know two sirs, by the way. So Martin caught me there, as we're blessed to have him on again. Welcome to the playbook, Sir Martin Sorrell. Thank you.
Good to be back, David.
Well, you know, I'm dying to talk to you because I get to talk to a whole bunch of 19-year-old life coaches about all.
I hate that phrase, life coaches.
No, they're very crazy.
People who do life coaching haven't lived.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, and I feel the same way in branding and marketing. There's a lot of people giving advice that haven't lived. And as the founder and executive chairman of S4, you caught on to understanding technology makes humans more human. Technology empowers us not only from zero to one, but maybe even from negative one to zero. But there's still value that needs to be derived from marketing. There's still business that needs to be done. And there's a lot of people out there similar to 19-year-old life coaches that don't have the situational knowledge and experience to utilize this extraordinary technology that can help facilitate a bond between brands and the consumers. What were some of the aspects as you merged? I think it's Media Monks, you guys, since 2021. Yes.
Well, we started in 2018. We've been at it for 6 years, had a fast start. We found it tougher as the tech companies have started to invest, David, in AI. I mean, Amazon is putting about $100 billion a year in, Google and Meta probably about $15 billion a quarter, Meta a little bit less. It's scaling back a little bit, but their OPEX has been reduced and their CAPEX has been increased in terms of AI. But sorry, I cut you off in terms of what's the impact on...
Yeah, I was curious, you know, with the experience that you have, human nature never changes. What are some of the things that we can look to in the stable end of what's, true business more than just the technology itself?
Well, the impact of AI on our industry, I mean, the impact is huge and people, you know, can keep on saying it's the third or fourth or fifth industrial revolution. It's seminal and major change and whatever. And a lot of capacity, as I just mentioned, is being built out. The question is the use cases. Now, use cases in our industry really cover five areas so far. First, in visualization and copywriting. So that's writing ads and producing ads, either still or video, and time to market has been reduced very significantly. So that's one area. The second area is personalization at scale, like what I call Netflix on steroids. So you're well used to the personalization that you get with a Netflix account. And that with AI can be done at a scale that we've never seen before. You know, we might for Narcos or whatever, we might produce a million assets or 1.5 million assets for a campaign. With AI and increased personalization, we can produce multiples of that. So the price per asset will come down, but the revenues to the agency will probably rise. In the first example I gave, copywriting and visualization, because agencies tend to be paid on a time basis, that reduces the amount of time and it'll put pressure on their revenues. And I think there will be fewer copywriters and art directors as a result. So those are the first two areas. The third area is media planning and buying. Clients are spending this year about $1 trillion on advertising. About 700 billion of that is digital. About 300 billion is traditional. Google is 250 billion of that. Meta is 115. Amazon is 60. TikTok outside China, because that figure of $1 trillion excludes mainland China, is about 40 billion. So those four platforms together account for 500 billion, one half of total ad spending this year, and five-sevenths, 500 billion out of 700 billion in digital. So you're seeing huge concentration. My view is what increasingly what you're going to see in media planning and buying is that $1 trillion or whatever it is in the future be analyzed algorithmically. You won't depend on a 25-year-old media planner or buyer. You'll depend on a 25-minute or 25-second or nanosecond algorithm. So we're going to see a much more scientific basis there. The fourth area is general efficiency. For example, in outside broadcasting, we have a joint venture with NVIDIA, AWS, and Adobe to reduce the cost of outside broadcasting by about 80 or 90%. And finally, what I think is the most exciting area, David, which is the democratization of knowledge. Inside organizations, knowledge is going to be made available through AI in a much more effective way, and it will flatten them. So AI is having a huge impact. You mentioned particularly the bond between consumers and brands, or the potential bond. Those first three areas in particular, the areas of visualization and copywriting, in the areas of personalization, hyper-personalization at scale, Netflix on steroids, as I call it, and then finally in media planning and buying, huge changes taking place. And that's driving the people who run the traditional holding companies like Omnicom and IPG to huddle together when the cold winds blow. And that's what's happening. You know, IPG has gone through extreme pressure. They've lost Microsoft, Coca-Cola, Pfizer, Amazon, and last week, J&J in the US and media. They've lost a lot of accounts. I think they were feeling a little bit battered and bruised. And Omnicom, strategically in terms of data and tech, have not been grasping the nettle. I'm not sure the IPG deal gives them that data and tech they're searching for, but that again, they will be huddling together against the cold winds that blow around AI.
One of the distinctions I've seen is in the idea of mass community. It's becoming more competitive and more expensive to build a global national brand because of the social silos that exist with individuals, sure, even unknown individuals that usually are behind the scene, like people like you and I that probably spend seven figures a year just marketing our own personal brands. Where do you see the individual content creation in that Netflix on steroids, for example? You didn't mention YouTube, and you know, here.
Well, I did. I did my inference. Google is 250 billion.
Right.
YouTube blew through 30 billion on advertising out of that 250, or a smaller figure it was before. And of course, Reed Hastings and Netflix noticed that and flipped his platform. You know, remember he used to say, advertising over my dead body. Well, he's still alive, and they're advertising it. So he now understands, I think, fully that the model is a subscription model and an advertising model. You have to have a mixed model. And it was really interesting when YouTube hit 30 billion, and I think it's up to 50 billion now. That was a few years ago. That Netflix, in that same year, Netflix subscription revenue hit 30 billion. So you had this sort of symmetry between the two. And I think that's what's driven Netflix, Amazon Prime now, and of course Disney to have an advertising based model as well as a subscription model. But you know, coming back to your point about the social media or individuals in the way you put it, I actually think that the task of building brands has become simpler. I know agencies like to tell clients it's become more complex because they feel more important and they can charge more money as a result. But remember those figures, that $1 trillion, and where that $1 trillion, that $300 billion that's in traditional is disappearing pretty fast. You know, that you look at particularly those free-to-air networks that don't have sport, like a Discovery Warner, or to some, well, not some as much Comcast, but they're facing the same difficulties. They're going through huge restructurings at the moment as we speak. And if you do have sport like a Fox or a Disney, your revenues are down by about 0 to 5% last year, ad revenues, and this year, and next year, probably the same. And if you're Discovery Warner, who doesn't have sport, you're down by 10 or 15%. So huge pressures on that traditional 300 billion segment. The balance of it is really concentrated in six platforms, the four that I mentioned before, plus Alibaba and Tencent. And the other platforms, I know Twitter gets a lot of airtime, or X gets a lot of airtime, Pinterest does, and Snap does, but Snap's about 5.5 billion of ad revenues. Twitter used to be 5, it's probably around 2.5 billion now. Pinterest around 4, Walmart with its walled garden is around 3. Microsoft does about 19 billion, as best as we can figure out. Apple about 11 billion. What I'm saying, David, is the real big platforms are the three Western ones, Alphabet, Meta, and Amazon, and the three Eastern ones, Alibaba, Tencent, and of course ByteDance, which owns TikTok.
Yeah, which leads me to the private equity side of things. A lot of people don't know when I got hired so many years ago to run Lee Steinberg, the sports agency, it wasn't because I was a fantastic lawyer or a great agent. It was because of my venture capital background and my technology background. And right. Lee Steinberg was a visionary like you, and he said the future of sport is in venture and technology. How does venture play into the digital marketing world? Are we taking pieces of these companies that we're confident and able to capture the community with?
Well, we set up alongside S4S Ventures, and we've invested in 11 companies so far, ad tech and martech. The latest was Runway, which is a thread running through all our conversation. Runway is a $3 billion now unicorn run by Cristobal, ex-Colombian, I think, who wrote his PhD thesis on text to video and I think text to audio. And he now has a model which is competing very effectively on text prompts to create content, to create video at scale. And I think, you know, the answer to your question is that venture is playing a very important role in accelerating the adoption or the creation, production, distribution, and adoption of new technologies. So we're going to see, you know, I think the model will eventually become, and we're already seeing it. If you're a small business today, small, medium-sized business, and you go to Google or you go to Amazon, or you go to Meta, they will put together content for you, and they will plan and buy the campaign. You know, Google Alphabet does it through PMAX, Performance Max. Meta does it through Advantage Plus. So what you will have eventually, I think, is an end-to-end, fully integrated system which uses either a verbal prompt or a text prompt to create content at scale, and to plan and buy it and implement it at scale too. So we're not far off there. Sora, you may have seen the launch of the Sora. Runway is another example of that technology. And we've also seen it in China with Minimax. There's a company called Minimax in China, which is doing text to video, text to audio too.
And to shift gears to finish up, you have been a leader for so long, and a lot of people don't understand the human experience or the journey, and they look at people that have made a huge success in a name for themselves and get to farther along in their journey and wonder why they utilize their time the way that they utilize their time. And for you, as I see you and get to meet with you a few times a year around the world, you're hustling, if not equal to or greater than I'm hustling. And I get a lot of shit for as much as I hustle at my age. You know, I would love to get your insight or your playbook on time and how and what you've learned throughout the years and utilizing your time by what's really important to you today that most people probably don't understand. They're thinking, you know, why isn't Martin just out playing golf in Scotland? He can afford to do whatever he wants. You know,
well, I think it's because it's fun, David. I mean, it's enjoyable. We wouldn't do it unless it was fun. My dad said to me many years ago, and I'm not sure the advice is necessarily as relevant as it's today, but I think it's still relevant. He said, you know, find an industry that you enjoy, you're having fun. Find a company in that industry that you enjoy. If you build a reputation in that company, you know, but where it's fun, build that reputation, not to a reputation to be interviewed by David Meltzer, but, you know, an interview where people respect what you've done. And then if you fancy doing something on your own, he said at the age of 40, because he was thinking about people working from 20 to 60. But as we all know, you carry on longer than that nowadays. So it could be a little bit more flexible than that. But then he said, if you fancy doing something on your own, do it. So I think the answer is, you know, it's about having fun. We wouldn't do it unless it was fun, unless we enjoyed it. It may not be, by the way, it may not be the best thing that we could do. Maybe we could do other things better. I mean, I do think the world is becoming more and more fractured. And I think North America, South America, the Middle East and APAC, Asia Pacific offer the biggest opportunities. That's not to denigrate Africa, but it's going to take some time. It's more micro than macro. Europe is having a very, very tough time. You visit there frequently. You know the problems that France, Germany and the UK in particular are having. And I don't think those are going to go away. So the world has become much more fractured. And then in Europe and indeed elsewhere, because growth is going to be slower and inflation probably more persistent and interest rate higher than we've been used to for the last 30 or 40 years, I think efficiency is really important. So AI, which we touched on, quantum computing, you know, the surge in Google's market value to $2.4 trillion just recently, an all-time high, came from their quantum computing and chip developments. And Gemini too, and I think, which is their second iteration of their AI agent, I think that's going to become even more important, along with the much maligned metaverse and blockchain, not so much crypto, but blockchain, to increase efficiency. So think about it two ways. Think about fragmentation of geography and picking your markets much more carefully than we did before. And then secondly, becoming super efficient using the vast promise of the technology, which we did discuss.
He is amazing. And I'm not just brown nosing one of my good friends. You know, my father told me, find people who are doing what they want with who they want, when they want, for as long as they want, and ask them how they're doing it, because that's the secret to life. And so I'm so blessed to be able to ask Sir Martin Sorrell how he's doing it. Check out his latest venture, which is S4 Capital. And of course, the Media Monks side of what he's doing. Great wisdom exists. We've all paid the dummy tax. You don't have to pay it. You can come join us here on the Playbook, and it will be the best investment you've made in yourself. Sir Martin Sorrell, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, David.
The Playbook.
Thanks.
Great to see you.
God bless you. Thanks very much.
You got it. Take care. This is David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.